If we follow the news, we probably have seen some people waiting in airports. There's been especially one airline that had some difficulty, sometimes staffing issues, sometimes IT issues, and stranded passengers have been left waiting for a long, long time. It's no fun to wait in an airport. Maybe you're not someone who flies. Maybe you're someone who likes to go through the fast food line. Well, over the last few months, maybe the last year, you've probably come to realize that fast food is no longer fast. Maybe you don't like fast food. You go to the grocery store, you buy everything and fix it. Well, if you've gone to the grocery store, you've probably figured out that the lines there sometimes are also not fast. You might wait. I know I've seen in some stores, Kroger's is one local example, depending on when you go, you might find lines that are so long that people don't wait. They just leave their items right there in a basket or in the grocery cart because they see hardly any checkers or maybe the automated lines are not functioning correctly and people walk out in frustration. We've been waiting for at least a year for things to get back to normal. We look around and we think, how much longer do we need to wait? How much longer will the frustration continue? Well, if we're a Christian, we might turn the question around a little bit and say, what does God say? What does the Bible tell us about waiting? Is there anything in Scripture when it comes to waiting? There is information, and we're going to start a study with John chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Now, in this chapter, you find that Jesus has an encounter with one of the many people that he did over his time on the earth with someone who was sick. Sometimes the people that Jesus met had been sick for a long, long time, and that was certainly true for this man. Jesus, as we look at this fellow, dealt with someone who had been sick for 38 years. Now, that is a long time. There's some people in this assembly who would say, well, I haven't lived that number of years yet. Imagine, though, being seriously ill for almost four decades, 38 years, day in and day out. You have a serious illness. It's one thing to be seriously sick for 40 years. And after that 40-year period passes, you are finally healed. You can say, I have found full relief. But what if someone waits for four decades or even longer and they don't get any relief? What happens if they die in that ill condition? One of the worst things in the world, one of the worst things that we can face is we wait and we wait and we wait and there is no hope. Now, we don't know that that was the case of this man, but we do know that it is discouraging almost beyond words to wait day in and day out and there is no hope. If we are a Christian, as we wait in life, and we will for one reason or another wait, we have hope. The Christian has hope in this life, but that hope is not limited to this life. That hope is ultimately or finally realized after death. And our hope is based on the one who is named in this story, Jesus. Jesus comes to this man who was waiting on assistance. And Jesus comes to this man and he asks him a very simple question. Look at the question. Would you be made whole? Do you want to get cured? What do you think the man was going to say? Well, obviously, yes, I've been sick for almost 4 years. Absolutely. I've been waiting for a long time to be cured. And this man thinks he's got it figured out. Verse 7. He thinks that this water is going to be troubled. And we're not going to get into some of the reasons for that. But he believes that this water is going to be agitated somehow. And he thinks if he can be the first one down into that agitated state of water. Think of a hot tub. And it's bubbling. And you can just see all of the splashing that is being powered by the jets. If he's the first one in the hot tub, so to speak, he thinks, I'm going to be healed. But I'm sick. I have a disability which prevents me from moving very well. And certainly a disability which prevents me from moving quickly. And other people get down into the water before I get there. And I am not whole. And I'm not healed. This man's hope was twofold. It was based on, number one, using this pool of water, and number two, getting in this pool before others. Now, I take it from the text that he had tried this on a number of occasions. How long? Maybe for years. Maybe week after week. And yet, each time, he had left in disappointment. Jesus, though, shows up to this man who's been waiting, and the story begins to change. Let's see what happens in verses 8 through 10. Jesus, that's how the verse begins. If Christ is in your life, your waiting is going to be a lot different. At least it should be, compared to the person who does not have Christ in his or her life. Jesus says to him, arise and take up your bed. I want you to walk. When you have Christ in your life as a Christian, you should expect good things when it comes to waiting. The Lord told this man, I want you to straight away. I want you to immediately get going. Now, as you look at the account, there were certainly some people who objected to what the Lord did, but this man was healed. There are times in life where waiting is all that we need to do. We simply need to be patient and wait. But there are also times, there are also occasions where we wait. And even if we waited and waited, that waiting in and of itself is not going to help us. We probably, as we look back at our life, maybe this past week, there have been some times we've had long waits. Maybe most of a day was spent waiting. You had to go to a government facility or a government office, or you had to buy groceries, or there was something at work. Maybe you were waiting on a machine to be repaired, and you waited most of the day. Maybe you've spent recently some weeks waiting. I know I'm finally back in contacts this morning. I am thankful. I have waited weeks to get rid of glasses. And there's some other people, they think, I have been waiting a long time to purchase my car, get my first job. I've been waiting years to get out of high school. I've been waiting years to get out of college, or whatever it might be. When we wait, there is no better partner in life than Jesus Christ. Most of us are familiar with the Old Testament story about Noah, back there in Genesis chapter 6. That's where we're going to draw from. Noah was told that a flood was going to come upon the earth. And Noah was told, because of this coming flood, God said, I want you to build something. I want you, Noah, to build an ark. Well, okay. And if Noah had had all the modern tools, all the things that we have today, that would have been quite a task. If you've not been down to the replica, I've not, but you can pull it up online and see just how magnificent this was. Now, we don't know exactly how long Noah spent building the ark. I think the best guess is probably somewhere around 70 years. Now, you think about that. 70 years to build this very big structure that you only have some kind of conception of, at least in general, and you've never seen the kind of flood that God is predicting. Imagine, as we think about Noah being one of God's finest people, Noah was a great man. He obviously had some character flaws, but for the most part, he was a great man. He's listed in the Hebrews Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And this fine man, God says, I'm going to give you a project. I'm going to give you a task, but you're going to have to wait more than 70 years before you begin to realize just how important it is. Would we have waited that long? Well, what happens after Noah finally finishes the ark? He gets everybody on board. Does he have to wait anymore? Does God say your waiting is done? No. He's in the ark, from what we can tell, for about a year. If we want to faithfully serve God as a Christian, we need to mark it down. There will be some times where we have to wait. We may wait as far as some of our prayers. We may wait because circumstances are not quite right. We're seeking something in life, and God says, yes, that's something that I'm going to do for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to aid you. I'm going to accomplish this for you, but you're going to have to wait. People get married. Sometimes they want a child. And perhaps they pray to God, and for a number of years, that prayer is not granted. They have to wait. Other people are waiting for that job that they're praying for. And again, it might be weeks, months, or years. We look at time, though. We look at life, and we find that people do not want to use their time to wait. We find that as we look at people, for the most part, many will do almost anything to avoid waiting. The people who are spiritually minded, they are people who are willing to wait. If God will not grant our prayer today, as far as the fulfillment, then a faithful Christian says, God, I'm going to wait until tomorrow. And God, if my prayer is not answered tomorrow by you, if it's not fulfilled tomorrow, I'm going to wait the next day and the next week and even the next year. You see, when we talk about faith, that's important. But faith goes hand in hand with the subject of waiting. The author of Psalm 130 figured this out a long time ago. This is a short psalm, but notice what he says in verse 5. I wait for Jehovah. My soul waits. And in his word do I hope. Now that's pretty brief. But again and again he comes back to the idea of I'm going to wait. I have hope. I have faith. I trust in God. And even though it might seem like it is not the easiest thing in the world, I am going to wait. Now this is not the world's idea of religion. If you look at the average person out there in the street and how they see God or how they see Christianity, they want a God. They want to believe in a God who will not make them wait. In fact, many, as they look at God, it's almost as if they demand that Jehovah give them what they want now versus have a faith form of Christianity. I will suggest to you this morning that as you look at Scripture, waiting is one of the ways that God sifts the hearts of people. For the people who are not willing to wait and wait in faith, they indicate very well who they are. Now, we know that Noah had to wait. And along with Noah, we find that Moses had to wait. But what about this guy named Abraham? Well, let's back up a little bit to what we find in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. And Abram said, Behold, God, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household is going to be my heir. God, you've made this promise to me. I don't see the promise fulfilled. What's God's message? It's going to happen, but you're going to have to wait. The word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. God said, you're thinking in this way, that's not going to be it. That's not going to be the child. God says, it's going to come in some other way. And you're going to have to wait on that, Noah. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you're able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. God said, I am offering you a magnificent problem, or problem. I'm offering you a magnificent benefit. There's going to be a wonderful promise here. All you have to do is wait. Trust me. Have faith. Well, Noah and Moses, they were put in a spot where they had to decide, are we going to wait in faith? Are we going to have hope? And Abraham is put in that same spot. Is Abraham going to believe God? He can see this, but God says, don't believe that. Don't think in those terms. It's not going to be with that son. God said, you can't see it yet. But I am making you a promise. And Abraham, will you wait? When we think about waiting, it's something that God pays attention to. When it comes to waiting in our life, we can whine, and we can moan, and we can complain. When we think about waiting, we can wait with worry. We can be not at ease. We can think, oh, I really wonder, I hope it's going to work out, I'm just not really sure. Being someone who waits in faith, being someone who waits in hope, puts all people in a very different category. You know, I find it interesting that as you start going back and you begin to look at God's greatest characters, time and time again, you begin to find that these characters waited. In Matthew chapter 26, we find that Jesus is going to pray. He's going to the garden. And he takes some disciples with him, a handful of men. And Jesus, you know what he tells those men? He said, I want you to wait. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36, he says, I want you to stay here and I want you to pray. Now, these men waited. They were willing to wait. But you know what happened with their waiting? It didn't take long before they became drowsy and they finally went to sleep. Jesus comes back, and do you remember what he says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40? He said, could you not watch for an hour? You fell asleep. I asked you to stay here and wait. Stay awake. But they failed. What's a practical lesson for us? The lesson is that we can begin to wait in life, and maybe we feel like, well, God, we've given you a day, and we've given you a week, and we've given you a month. God, I've given you 6 months. God, I have even waited for a year. And God, not only have I waited for a year, I have prayed to you every single day for a year. And God, on many of those days, it wasn't just one prayer. God, on many of those days, I prayed multiple times, and I have kept my part of the bargain. You haven't delivered. You failed me. You think anybody's ever reasoned like that? Line them up, folks. There are a bunch of them. God says, you wait. I will be faithful. I will do exactly what I have promised. But all too often, we're just like the disciples. We start out waiting, and it might not be the first day, but we finally say, we've had enough. We need to learn to wait, and to wait with steadfastness. We can have an awfully good beginning, but a very poor ending. Jesus goes to the cross. Third day, he's resurrected. And before the Lord returns to heaven, do you know what Jesus told the apostles? He says, I want you to wait. How do we know that? Acts 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, that is the apostles, he charged them, the apostles, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? You wait. You go to the city and you wait. Now, had we been with the disciples, we might have thought, well, we have a better idea. Jesus said, wait, but you know, we can do some things somewhere else. Jerusalem may not be the best place. Or the disciples could have reasoned, we've been waiting for a while. And we don't want to wait any longer. We've waited long enough. Or they could have said, well, we'll just take part of the group. And you guys, you wait over here, and we're going to go over and do some other stuff. And if it all works out, then you come get us. No. Christ's plan, heaven's plan, was for everybody to wait. It was not a time to complain. It was not a time to wonder. It was not a time to worry. It was a time to wait. Now, most of the Bible examples we've been looking at this morning, we've got the apostles, and we've got Noah, and we've got Abraham, we've got Moses. We can say, well, those were great Bible characters. I mean, sure, we've got that guy in John chapter 5, but he was waiting for his friends. He wasn't waiting on God. Are there some average people in the Bible? I just feel like I'm a common person. Are there any examples of that? Well, we do have some, and I want to pull up some information about a guy named Simeon from Luke chapter 2. Now, he is not, in my mind, in the same category as Abraham and Noah and Moses. He obviously is important, but he doesn't get the attention that those other men do. The Bible says that Simeon was looking. Well, what does that mean? He was waiting. And this man was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, if we didn't have some more information, we might be able to make a good guess as far as what the consolation of Israel is, but we don't have to make a guess. It's laid out for us in the text. He's looking for Jesus. Verse 27. He's looking for the Messiah. Now, it doesn't state how long Simeon has been looking, but it does appear that he's been looking for a long time. God said to this man, here's my promise, you're going to see the consolation of Israel before you die. And here is this man, think about his life. It is day after day, it is week after week, probably month after month, and very possibly year after year, he is waiting and waiting and waiting and getting older and older and older, and nothing is happening. Now, if you were Simeon, where would you be in the waiting process? Would your faith be increasing? I'm getting older. Death is not that far in the future for me. I believe that God will fulfill his promise. Or would you be on the other end of the stick and your faith would be decreasing? God has not yet fulfilled his word. I know what he said. I'm getting closer to death. And he hasn't come. Well, there would be some people who would say, I think God has failed me. This man could have reasoned, well, I just haven't been observant enough. I know what God said, but I just don't think I've seen him. Or some others would say, well, I think that God has forgotten his promise. Or maybe God decided to let someone else see the consolation of Israel. Maybe God's become dissatisfied with me. God's unhappy with me. My waiting hasn't been quite like he wanted, so he's given the promise to someone else. Or he could have simply said, I've waited long enough. I've had people say that concerning God. I've done enough. I've prayed enough, I've waited enough, and that is truly enough. Luke says this man persisted, and he persisted long enough that Jesus one day shows up. God did keep his word. And after this happens, look at verse 29. Now let thy servant depart. What's that mean? Let me die, God. I'm ready to go. It would seem that he was an old man. He had waited pretty much all of his life, it looks like, for this promise to be fulfilled. And finally, the day comes where it happens. And he says, God, you have kept your word. He had kept the faith. And he said, now I'm ready to leave. Now, if you were listening to this lesson, your mind might be drawn back, at least my mind would be drawn back to some information in Isaiah chapter 40. You may remember that 31st verse, but they that wait for Jehovah shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. When you look at what Isaiah is saying here, he is saying that if you wait on God, like the men that we've talked about this morning, God will offer protection, he will offer help, and he'll offer defense. If you want a blessed Christian life, if you truly want to prevail in prayer and receive God's help, learn to wait and wait in faith. You truly put your trust in him. You truly put your hope in him. And you patiently wait for that aid in faith. All too often, as human beings, it is tempting for us to put conditions or parameters around waiting. We think, well, God, okay, I will give you this long, or I have given you this long. And if God doesn't do what we think within the first week, or the first 6 months, or the first year, we just move on to other things. Now, maybe we don't throw God away, but we think, well, you know, I just don't think that worked out too well. No, no. Persist. Wait. God's message to us is, if you wait, and it's right, you'll get it every single time. I asked Gary this morning to select Trust and Obey for invitation song. And as we think about that song, trusting and obeying, add in the word wait and look at your life. Are there some areas as far as the Christian life where you need to wait and you're failing? You've got some faith, and you've got some hope, but you just need to put the waiting there, or you need to add more waiting. It is a package deal. And if we can help you with the waiting this morning by encouraging you, we'd like to do that. If you're someone who is not yet a Christian, and you do become a Christian, let's be clear this morning. You will need to wait. It is part of becoming a Christian, but that waiting pays off. The plan to become a child of God is so simple. Faith in Christ, repentance from sin, confession that Christ is the Son of God, immersion baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of every single sin, and then walking in the newness of life. But that walking also involves waiting. Will you wait on God to receive the promises of God? And will you make that decision now, or be fortified in that decision that you've made? If so, and we can aid you, will you let us know what, how we can help as we stand and sing the selected song?
When we walk through